Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast with cybersecurity news read and prepared by Catalin Campanu. Risky Business News is brought to you this week by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. In today's top story, German prosecutors have charged and issued an arrest warrant in the name of Nikolai Kozacek, a Russian national and officer in the Russian military's main intelligence directorate, also known as the GRU. German officials said that Kozacek breached the IT systems of the Joint Air Power Competence Center, a NATO think tank based in the city of Kalkar, Germany. The alleged cyber attack took place in April 2017, according to German news outlet Der Spiegel, which first reported on Kozacek's arrest on Friday. Reporters said that investigators linked Kozacek to a hacking group known as APT-28 or Fancy Bear, previously linked to the GRU military intelligence agency in previous years by multiple other countries. Investigators said they linked Kozacek to nicknames such as BlaBlaBla123456 and Kazakh, nicknames used inside the code of GRU malware named X-Agent. This marks the second indictment in the GRU officer's name after Kozacek was also charged in the US in 2018 for the 2016 DNC hack and subsequent attempts to influence the 2016 US election via operations like DC Leaks and Guccifer 2.0. In other news, pro-Ukrainian hacktivists have carried out DDoS attacks against the infrastructure of the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, the annual Russian business event for the economic sector. The DDoS attacks delayed Russian President Vladimir Putin's speech by 1 hour, the New York Times reported on Friday. Also known as SPIF, the event was listed as a target for DDoS attacks on the Telegram channel of the IT Army of Ukraine 2 days before on Wednesday. In other news on hacks and breaches, Paige Thompson, the former AVS employee who breached Capital One's infrastructure in 2019 and stole the personal details of more than 100 million Americans, was found guilty following a jury trial the DOJ announced on Friday. Thompson's sentencing is scheduled for September 15 and she faces up to 20 years in prison. Following its hack, Capital One was fined $80 million and settled customer lawsuits for another $190 million. In other legal news, a Canadian court has also approved a settlement of $200 million in a class action lawsuit filed against Desjardins over its 2020 data breach. The incident exposed the data of 4.2 million people who had accounts at a bank and is considered one of the largest financial data breaches in Canada's history. The incident was linked to the actions of a rogue employee who siphoned bank customer data silently for 26 months. In other news, DeFi platform Inverse Finance was exploited on Friday using a flash loan attack and lost $1.26 million worth of Tether and wrapped Bitcoin. This is the second time the platform got exploited using a flash loan attack after losing another $15.6 million in April. Elsewhere, Polish tech news site PurePC disclosed a security breach on Friday. The breach disclosure is of note because the company disclosed the incident 4 years after it took place in 2018. Furthermore, the site's data has also been traded in underground forums for at least 3 years since 2019. According to the company, the hack took place after hackers gained access to an IP board forum integration with its Drupal CMS. The stolen and leaked information included usernames, emails, and hashed and salted passwords. In tech news, Russian news agency TASS reported on Sunday that Microsoft was blocking Russians from downloading images for the Windows 10 and Windows 11 operating systems from its official website. Risky Business News confirmed the TASS report with several Russians, but it's unclear if this is a permanent ban or just a temporary server error, as Microsoft did not respond to a request for comment sent by TASS. BuzzFeed also published a bombshell report on Friday. Leaked audio from more than 80 internal TikTok meetings obtained by BuzzFeed reporters show that ByteDance's Chinese employees have repeatedly accessed the data of US TikTok users between September 2021 and January 2022. The revelation comes after the company was close to getting banned in the US during the Trump administration and after the company promised to store user data separately from its Chinese business. On the same day the BuzzFeed expose went live, ByteDance published a press release claiming it is now storing the data of all US users on US servers, although this does not necessarily mean that Chinese staff won't be able to access this information in the future. In some Microsoft news, new versions of Windows 11 now come with a new privacy feature that will let users review which locally installed applications have recently accessed and used the camera and microphone. From a security standpoint, the feature is great for detecting if systems are infected with spyware. The feature is active in Windows 11 preview and dev builds and is scheduled to reach the stable channel later this year. In other tech news, the Tor project has published its annual review report, and while the US government still remains the main source of revenue for the project, its share has come down from nearly 80% a decade ago to just 38% last year. Donations from individual members have seen the largest rise in recent years, accounting for over 36% in the 2020-2021 financial year. In malware and cybercrime news, a new wave of Ecora X ransomware is hitting QNAP NAS devices. The attacks come after the company said it was investigating new reports of network attached storage devices being encrypted earlier last week. In addition, towards the end of last week, we also saw a flurry of interesting technical reports being published by several companies and security researchers. For example, Dark Owl has published a report on SiegeSec, a criminal gang specialized in defacements and data leaks. In addition, Zscaler also published a report on a threat actor that has been targeting users in various US-based organizations with malicious voicemail notification themed emails in an attempt to steal Office and Outlook credentials. Security researcher Brad Duncan has also published details about a campaign distributing the Matambucus malware dropper. We also had a technical report on the Kekbot malware from security researcher Kaswa. Threat intel firm CyberInt also published a report on Blackguard, a new info stealer that was launched earlier this year and is currently advertised on Russian cybercrime forums. Mobile security firm Cliffy also published a report on recent versions of the Brata Android Banking Trojan. In addition, ThreadMicro said it detected a new version of the CopperStealer malware distributed in the wild using websites hosting fake software cracks. Fortinet also published a report on the latest version of the IX Loader malware loader, version 3.0. And last but not least, Chinese security firm Anti published a report on Dark Elephant, an Indian APT group targeting social activists, social groups and opposition parties in India, as well as military forces in China and Pakistan. This concludes the news section of our podcast, and now we'll hear from our sponsor. Airlock Digital co-founder Daniel Schell is here to discuss Smart App Control, a new Windows 11 feature that works by trying to predict if a new app being installed on a Windows system may be malicious or not, and its outlook from a security and protection perspective.
So earlier this year, Windows 11 Insider Edition introduced a new feature, Smart App Control, which is a combination of WDAP, ActLopper, and some new hardening functionality around Mark the Web. The big news here is that the latest Windows 11 Insider Edition has Smart App Control enabled by default in evaluation mode. In evaluation mode, Windows will determine if you're a suitable candidate for Smart App Control, and if you are, it will either lock down the PC to only run signed files or files trusted by the Intelligent Security Graph, or if it's determined you're not a suitable candidate, then Smart App Control will be disabled. There's some really good OS hardening improvements included with Smart App Control, such as blocking VBS scripts and ISO files with the Mark of the Web from being loaded, as well as blocking some files from the Microsoft recommended block lists, which can be used to get around application control, such as the HTA interpreter or WSL.exe. The big turd in the punch bowl here is there's no exception handling, and if you want to run unsigned, untrusted files, you have to disable Smart App Control, and once you disable it, you can't re-enable it without, wait for it, reinstalling Windows. Knowing how AppLocker and WDAC work together, this kind of makes sense, but the real shame here is that Smart App Control isn't going to be a practical option for anyone who isn't just using a browser, Office, and some store apps, you know, the Windows S dream. So it'll eventually be disabled on most systems for one reason or another, and then these users will also lose all their OS hardening improvements, which might have been better left to Windows Defender, in my opinion. That said, I commend Microsoft for trying to bring application control to the masses, and anything that makes more developers sign the code is better for the entire Windows ecosystem.
This is it for today's show. You can subscribe to this podcast by going to risky.biz and to our newsletter by going to riskybiznews.substack.com.